God's grace and his mercy and his peace be yours this day in the name of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. So whenever I look at the assigned readings for each week, I have to decide what it is I'm going to preach on. And for the past 2 weeks, I've looked at these passages from 1 Corinthians. 2 weeks ago, it was about the different spiritual gifts that we are given. Then last week, the readings were about how we're the body and how all the different parts are valued by God. And so I didn't preach on either of those, and I wanted to, but I wanted to preach on the other parts as well. But now we've come to 1 Corinthians 13. It's a much shorter Bible chapter, and you're probably familiar, especially with some of the verses, especially if you've ever attended any weddings. I'm going to read for you again some of the sections. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love is not envious or boastful or arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It doesn't rejoice in wrongdoing, but rejoices in the truth. It bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never ends. And know faith, hope, love, abide, these three, but the greatest of these is love. But Paul here, when he wrote these words, he is not talking about marital love. This reading is great for weddings. That's fine. But that's not what Paul had in mind when he wrote these words. Remember, he's writing these words to the church in Corinth, and they are going through major conflict. They've been fighting about whose spiritual gifts are more important. They're dividing into different factions, cliques, groups, fighting about what's the right way to worship. And so after talking about the importance of different spiritual gifts and how it's the Lord who decides who receives what and how, they're all in this together as a community, Paul now spends an entire chapter reminding them why they're there in the first place, what their mission is. And that mission, Paul says, is love. Their mission and our mission today as church is to reflect God's love to each other and then out into the community around us. And what is that love? Well, this chapter is a description. God's love is patient. God's love is kind. The love of God isn't irritable or resentful. God's love doesn't rejoice in wrongdoing. God's love rejoices in the truth. And our call as church, our call as followers of Jesus is to reflect that love, to share the love that God has revealed to us. And the problems will always follow when we lose that focus, when we make other things more important than love. That's true for all of us as Christians, and it is especially true for churches. I don't know how much you've ever followed different mega churches, but there was one that I followed for a while called Mars Hill. That was down in the Seattle area. And there was a podcast talking about the rise and fall of Mars Hill, a mega church in Seattle that started in 1996. And by 2013, there were over 12,000 people attending each weekend. You know, kind of like here, just a little smaller. But in 2014, the church imploded. It declared bankruptcy, and it closed. And part of the hypothesis is that the church imploded because of the focus being upon the ego of the pastor and the leadership group that wanted things done their way and to reflect their greatness. The goal became growing as large as possible so that people would look at them and go, oh, look how many people, they're so great. And they did that at any expense, not worrying about who got run over in the process. And then the focus became growing and sustaining this massive, prestigious institution rather than in sharing the love of Jesus Christ. It's actually a painful story to listen to. You could almost imply Satan laughing in the background. But lest we go, I thank you, Lord, that we're not like them. It is so easy for us to drift away as Christians from God's call. That call to live out His love. That's our primary mission in being the body of Christ. And it's not just a problem for mega churches. And it's not just a problem for the people of Corinth 2,000 years ago. Plenty of churches fall into this trap of maybe worrying more about their building than about their neighbors, wanting to get more people into church, not so that they're saved, but so that they can cover their bills. Plenty of churches argue about worship styles or traditions, even as they are unfriendly to people, without asking if it's loving. If you took a survey of unchurched people and asked them, what's the first word that they would use to describe Christians? Would it be love? Sometimes it might be. I certainly hope so. But too often, Christians, including us, we get caught up in insisting on our own way and judging and condemning others rather than reflecting the mercy of Christ. There are plenty of what I'll call noisy gong Christians clanging in the world today, just like I'm sure there were in Corinth. Our congregation can make all the right decisions, but none of it matters if we lose sight of why we're doing it. We are here because God has loved us. We are here then to be served by God so that we can go out and we can share the good news of God's love with our neighbors in the world. Paul talked about all these spiritual gifts like teaching and prophesying and speaking in tongues, but none of it, he says, serves God's mission if it's not done in love. The best music in the world, the most engaging preaching, making the most beautiful crafts in Sunday school, serving the yummiest potluck meals, even being willing to sacrifice yourself for a cause, that's all great, but without love, it's meaningless. Without love, it is nothing. Love is what we do with the gifts. And one of the things that is interesting in this chapter is that everything that Paul says here about love is with verbs. It's actions, not just descriptions, which is a little tough to see in our translations, but love is patient is really love waits patiently. Love acts kindly. But if at any point as I'm describing this, or if you're like me as you look at the things that describe love, I feel the law weighing on me because I don't do any of these things well, certainly not even close to perfectly. But that's the amazing thing about our God, is even as we fail, God's love never ends. Paul's describing, as he talks about this love, God's action toward us. And so I'm going to read for you, and then you're going to respond. I'm going to say love is patient, and I'm going to ask you to respond, Jesus is patient. And we're going to do that with each of these items to remind us. Love is patient, Jesus. Love is kind. Love is not envious. Love is not boastful or arrogant or rude. Love does not insist on its own way. Love is not irritable or resentful. Jesus is not irritable. Love does not rejoice in wrongdoing. Love rejoices in the truth. Love never ends. And so, as we continue to be the body of Christ, because that's what He's called us to be, may we know the love that God has for us. A love that is patient and kind. A love that bears all things, believes all things, endures all things, hopes all things. And knowing this love, may we be moved to act by God's love to reflect that to those around us. And may the Holy Spirit cause us here at Trinity to be refocused in carrying out our mission, in being stirred up by the Holy Spirit, that we would use our gifts together, celebrating the differences in each other to build up the Lord's kingdom together. And may we do it all focused on the love of God for us. Amen.